I'll call the Great River Finance Committee meeting to order. You got the minutes or the agenda in your packet? Adopt or approve the agenda?
Approval.
Second.
Motion been made and seconded to adopt or approve the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. The minutes were in there from the September 21st meeting. This does need approval, so if you got any additions, corrections, or want anything explained, now's the time.
So moved on the minutes.
Second.
Motion has been made by Randy, seconded by Mike to approve the minutes. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Third quarter financial report is on page 5. Do we want to go through it a little bit?
Sure. Revenues reflect quarter four signatory payments that were received by September 30th, and they also show the receipt of our first installment of RLBSS funding for fiscal year 22. Fines and miscellaneous receipts are just under $162,000, and our monthly average is about $18,000 a month. On page 6 and 7, you can see the account balances. At the time of this report, there were 6 maturities remaining in 21 with an average return of 0.10%. And the quarter 3 report reflects the addition of our first locally purchased CD at 0.60, and a total of 4 of those will be added by year end. Current interest income is $37,500, and the projection for 21 is about $41,000 received. On page 9 and 10, the quarterly comparative report. Quarter 3 operating expenses are about 68% of the annual budget, and Great River is 0.2% above our 2020 spending for the same time last year. Most of the expenditure savings continue to be found in salaries, supplies, and staff travel. It is anticipated that the budget lines for library materials, automation, and equipment will be fully expended at year end. And budget lines for equipment rental, vehicle repairs, and employee benefits are going to exceed their line limits. This is in part to copy your contract pricing, recent unexpected repairs to several fleet vehicles, and both the 2020 and 2021 HRA employee elections are going to be absorbed by this year's budget. These things have significantly decreased the anticipated year-end surplus that we talked about in September. It was presented at $244,000. It's now trending closer to $100,000. Does anybody have any questions on that?
Mr. Chair, I have it. Are we still in the magic fund yet? Because I know we, as our county, we've moved everything out of the magic because they weren't paying worth a darn. So have we been shopping around to get out of there? Or?
That's mainly why we started that local CD program, so right. We can start getting out of it. And yes, we are still involved with them. They're paying 0.015% right now on liquid. And we're trying to get that money moved into our local signatories.
So, but have we shopped any other local banks, you know, to do that? Is that what we're doing? Because we did that with, I don't know, probably 5 or 6 local banks in the Morrison County area. And, yeah, we blew the magic fund out of the water, you know.
Right.
Okay. If it's blowing out of the water, you're getting 0.01 to maybe 0.5 or something.
Right,
you know,
right.
So, but still, and we did the same thing. But some of your monies that come from the state, they have to go through the magic fund.
Right.
You know, the magic fund is basically through U.S. Bank.
That's for sure.
They come in through that. And if, you know, your auditor, treasurer, whoever has to be on that to pull them out and invest it somewhere else as soon as possible.
Yeah, yes. A couple of things with that. I know Amy's been trying to get a bank almost in every, or she's been diversifying a lot. Mm-hmm. 6 of them so far, or 8 now?
We are in 4 of 6, and then as of Friday, we'll be in 5 of 6 signatories by the year end.
Yeah, local banks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Magic Fund, stay tuned on that, because we're trying to get AMC to work on some legislation that'll change that for Magic Fund, because their hands are tied on their investment opportunities and possibilities. So
yeah, because they used to be really do well.
Oh, they were really good, yes, and we're all, yeah. So
just so it ain't too late for them by the time it happens.
I know.
Okay. Anything else, Amy?
That's all I had. If anybody had any questions.
Otherwise, it does need approval.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Wayne, seconded by Randy to approve the financials for the third quarter. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Request for fines pledge at the end of the year. Page 15, that's on.
Right. So, purging patron accounts of overdue fines and loss processing fees at the year end is the last step to incorporating our fines-free initiatives. The action request that you see here includes some breakdowns of the age of the receivables, the anticipated rate of collectability, and the number of patrons that would be affected. If this is approved, the next step is to lower the billing threshold, which will increase the number of notices that are leaving the library to get those materials back that our patron services and collection development teams want back so other people can enjoy them. I also wanted to mention that there is a significant amount of money that will be staying in Horizon, $448,000 in receivables for lost item costs, debt collection, and revenue recapture assessments stay there. And those monies are what we want to focus our collection efforts on and get either compensated or get the materials back. So purging the fines and the processing fees will make those billing notices go out, no questions asked. The patron will know that they owe for materials only. So, are there any questions on that at all, or?
Lee?
What would be, would it be difficult to at least do a hand grenade estimate on what it cost to administer the fine system?
We did a little bit of analysis when it, just as far as like the cost of each notice being sent out and the number. By the time the patron gets to the point where they will be sent to Minnesota Revenue Recapture, we spent almost $11 in notices. And then all the phone calls and that kind of thing are absorbed by I believe, I don't know.
It's in the patron notices line.
Thank you. Patron notices line. So, yeah.
Well, somebody does this, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we had talked about that too.
You know, some allowance or allocation or recognition that we're tying somebody up chasing these and monitoring these, because that's the real cost.
Correct.
I know, Brian, you were working on a graphic, infographic that had come from a Canadian Library Association that was called The Hidden Costs of Fines.
Yeah.
And I think you were working on putting some of that into our publicity once we get beyond the year-end campaign. Is that right?
Yeah. So the communications and development department's working on different posters and information. So okay. We have to have a infographic that breaks apart not only like what you see as fines, but as you had mentioned, the different time restraints and actual costs per fine that it takes.
That'd be so good.
We hope to have that out by the end of the year.
That would be really great to see that.
Yeah.
Right.
I've always chuckled that when we do cost estimates in local government, we don't realize that somebody does this. And that it costs us to do this, and that cost isn't recognized. Oh, they're going to be here anyway. Well, they might be doing something else. Jeez. But anyway, I digress.
The statistic of that $448,000, on the fines, is it just a few bad eggs, or is it just very widespread?
I believe it's the size of our system and the age of the receivables, because the receivables are going back all the way to 2014. And just working in collections for a time, those are essentially write-offs after 7 years. well, essentially after three.
Yeah, it should be.
But we leave them on. And I would say for the most part, the age of them and just where they're dispersed, I believe that there are opportunities there to just start people off with a clean slate and get them back to using the library for what it is.
Mr. Chair, if I may, what is that going to do to our distribution of products? If people say, well, I got a book, I haven't returned it because it was supposed to be back last week, somebody else is on the waiting list to get the book, how is that going to affect our circulation? Because there's no punishment or whatever the right word is for returning your book not on time or whatever. Because my wife does do special order books, and there's deadlines on those, but there's always a waiting list. So if I told her about this, she said, well, then I can keep this book for as long as I want. And I said, no, honey, that's not how you work it. But, you know, that's the attitude of our society out there right now isn't honesty anymore. So I'm sorry, but that's just the way I view it. So I'm worried about our availability of products once we do away with this.
Yes, Karen.
That's a really good statement. We don't know, but what we do know is when we made this change for juvenile materials, we didn't see issues. So we hope that behavior translates into the other materials as well. It is something we're going to keep an eye on. Fortunately, our fund development revenue also enhances our collection development budget. So if we need to buy more copies of something, we can do that. People will still get a bill if they haven't returned it after 45 days. So they'll still be getting that. And people will no longer be able to check out materials. It'll be a hard stop if something's more than 10 days overdue. So there'll be repercussions. It just won't be a fine the way that it is. And based on other libraries' research, the fines themselves don't actually cause people to bring the books back on time, as much as people would like to think that. What other libraries have seen is that changing to a fines-free environment doesn't actually make a major impact on what people's behavior is in terms of bringing things back.
So, and then we'll have our own data if we try it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, library patrons in general use the library because they value the library. So I suspect that they're a special group of society in and of themselves because they're using the library. You know, they value it.
Well, that's a good hope, but when I hear the outstanding fine number, that's huge.
It is. And and yet, are they still using the library?
We don't know.
And I think part of that is a remnant of our billing process. Right now, we don't send a bill to somebody unless they owe more than $12.50 because it costs too much money to send all those bills. So some people don't even know they have a fine until they come back to the library.
So if they come back to the library and they have a fine, there's a stop. They can't take another product out, right?
Right.
And isn't that a cumulative number?
Yes.
It's not an annual number?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I realize that, but it's still huge. Mm-hmm. And as it accumulates, you know, it builds and gets bigger. So it's just like that's a huge number. And so maybe we should have approached this a lot earlier in taking care of this and getting rid of some of that big dollars that's out there on the books that shouldn't be. So
yeah, it's been a phased approach. You might remember that we did something similar about 3 or 4 years ago. We wiped a huge chunk of stuff going back to 99, I think it was.
With how we market this is going to be critical, too, because if people start reading, well, this is the reason, blah, 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 I think then it kind of makes sense to people. But if we just do away with it and don't market it, then we're probably stepping on our own toes. So.
Yes, understood. Renew or return, right? Is that that's going to be part of the key messaging.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And then people will still get the same notices, you know, reminding them their book is due. I mean, that's something I love. I check out quite a few books, and you're always getting the message that it's due. And I have been a little late with a few of mine, true story, and paid my fines. But I love the system, and And I think that that's not super old, the mm-hmm. email reminders or the text reminders.
Right.
So those systems have been put into place, too, that I think will really encourage reminders.
And that's the notice. The notice and messaging is being enhanced, so there will be more of those on the front side of it before things get to the point where there are 10 days overdue.
It's not the olden day where I couldn't find my paper slip that told me what date it was due and forgot to mark it on my calendar. You know, the system is amazing now compared to what it used to be. So,
anything else? Otherwise, this is an action item.
I can move that.
I'll second.
Motion been made by Lee, seconded by Lisa, to pledge that the year-end fines. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Designation for Library Aware subscriptions, page 17.
The Communications Development Department would like to designate $10,000 from any operating surplus to purchase a subscription to Library Aware. It's a targeted advertising software. The software will offer the library specific templates that they can customize for Great River, and it integrates with our already utilized Novelist database, and it will add time and content creation efficiency for Brianne's department. The department has been using the software on a trial basis and found out that it integrates with the Great River website very well. And it just adds a little level of professional look. So if you have any other questions, Brianne's here.
Brianne,
so.
You got anything to add?
Mr. Chair, is this a one-time fee or is this going to be an annual fee?
So after having the trial through Novelist, that we've had the past year, we've been able to see how the department can use it. And this would be a one-time designation. I would then, in our 2023 budget, include that in essentially my budgeting process for the department for operational costs.
Would that be the full $10,300 per year?
That is negotiable. So the difficult part, to my understanding, is since it is a package in with Novelist and some of our cataloging things, Jamie in collection development has been able to negotiate costs since she's getting it as essentially a bundle. So it is around that $10,000, but it may end up changing throughout the year, but it should be around that.
Is it a multi-site license, or is it just a one-seat license for $10,000?
We have all of our patron services librarians in my department on it. So one of the biggest ways that we are able to use it is for our personalized book pick emails from our librarians. So it connects to the catalog where we are able to send people directly from our catalog their different personalized book selections. That has been actually quite popular since COVID. Because before they just used their normal email through Zimbra and our database to send out emails to patrons. So in this way it looks a lot more professional and also connected to our catalog. So we probably have 8 to 10 people that use it right now.
In your office. But as far as patrons, how many people are actively getting?
Off the top of my head, I can't remember.
I know that. For instance, personalized book pick emails through the site has grown through hundreds since COVID, since that has been popular, and we've promoted that service by the librarians. Also within my department, we are able to do brochures, content creation, posters, bookmarks through this site as well.
Yeah. Mr. Chair, how long was this for? I mean, when this trial basis, how long did that was that going on? And if this would be turned down, how are we surviving before without this?
The trial basis has been the calendar year.
Okay.
And so the request would be for 2022.
Right. The question again is, if we would vote this down, how are you surviving before we had this?
Yep. So it would go back to, I want to say, not as personalized for our librarians with their different personalized book picks, so go back to using their email. And then within our strategic plan for 2022 to 2025, we've been looking at, since one of the priorities is library awareness and how to better get the message out of library services to people, how we can do it better. And this is a way that after the trial that we've seen that we have a way to grow as a department for time and quality of product for us to grow. So essentially we could be doing very similar things, but in a growth and strategic plan viewpoint or perspective, that's an area that we can see that we can get better and hopefully more viewing.
Karen?
I do want to add, too, we talked about the fund development plan draft at the October meeting, and one of our goals over the next 5 years is to double our fundraising again. And in the past 3 years since the fundraising plan was passed, we actually reduced the number of FTEs in the communication and development department by one. So thinking ahead, I don't think it's realistic that we'll be able to expand what the fund development plan accomplishes without adding resources to the department. This seems like a lower cost option than looking at staff in the next couple of years, since we actually reduced a full-time staff member in the last year.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So it's not budgeted, so what? Where are you going to pay for this out of?
Well, for this year, our thought was we'd pull it out of this year's surplus rather than have something that surplus going into reserves. And, well, although that's the next item, what we're doing with the surplus. And then we would talk about this again when we're setting the 2023 budget as part of the department budget request process for 2023. So we'd be buying one more year to try it out, see what happens, and then before committing. This product actually has allowed those online personalized book picks, and I think we talked about those early on last year right after things had shut down. That was one of the online services we kind of launched in the midst of COVID and is still kind of getting its sea legs. So it is something that's remained popular even after we've reopened.
Anything else? So do you think on a percentage basis, is it 60% for the consumer, 40% for staff, or is it 50-50, or how would you gauge that?
All of the end products are for the patron.
The patron.
I mean, it makes things easier for the staff to reach
right.
the patron.
So there's got to be some savings for staff, or ease of the staff, right?
Right, right. Well, and security. I mean, when you think about an email going out from a staff member to a member of the public, it's better to use a system than have them have access to that person's individual work email.
Right.
Is there some opportunity for outsourcing some of this early on? Is there, we're not the only game in town. There are people that out there that do this, and there might be opportunities to learn from them too. I don't know, is that realistic? Has it ever been considered? Does it have any merit? I mean, just because I thought of it doesn't mean it's whiz bang.
We had actually looked at outsourcing fund development completely, if you remember, before we hired Brianna a few years ago. And we do a lot of outsourcing of the print materials, but the electronic communication, if you're going to outsource that, it's just way more efficient to do it in-house.
Okay, this is an action item, too.
I can move it.
Been moved. I'm looking for a second.
Second, Randy.
Been moved and seconded to designate the Library Aware subscription. Any other discussion? Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Thanks for the presentation, too. Number seven, the 2021 budget surplus has 2023 budget revenue.
There's a slight typo on this page. It's the first typo we found in the packet. It says that we want to supplant revenue in the 2022 budget, but what we're actually asking for is supplanting revenue in the 2023 budget. So my apologies for that. This is similar to what we did last year. We're just saying whatever's left over at the end of this year will go into a revenue line for the 2023 budget as part of the base budgeting process next spring.
Do we have any idea what that figure will be?
We're guessing.
We're guessing around $100,000.
Around $100,000, so I thought. And last year we were at?
200 and some, 300 and something?
300. Yeah.
351,000. Yeah. I think it was the last number that I saw. Partly this is lower because we ended up booking the HRA into a custodial fund following the audit, and now we're booking 2021's HRA custodial fund out of that surplus as well, which is not something that's happened in prior years.
And won't happen. Won't have to happen again.
$315,218 last year. And we've got positions open right now, so it's hard to say where we're actually going to land.
Okay. What's your wishes to do with that?
We'd like you to designate it now, so then when we start base budgeting, it's just
designated in there. 2023's budget?
Rather than having it go to reserve.
Well, if it would go to reserve, we could pull it out anyway, too.
You can.
Just to play in numbers.
You're not going to make much off of it, so.
Yeah.
No, true.
Yeah. I'll move.
Use second. It on the 2023? Okay. Been moved. Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded to supplant it into the 2023 budget. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Carried. Next meeting is January 18th, 2022. Wow. We're adjourned.